Tom Gimbel joins us again, the founder and CEO at LaSalle Network. Hi, Tom. Welcome back.
Hey, John. Good to talk to you.
It doesn't sound like you feel that way already.
I'm waiting, John. I brought a bodysuit, a suit of armor with me today.
No, we've oversold the case. But last week we were talking a little bit about job availability, and somebody said this: what's your advice to my son who graduated with a double major from the University of Illinois and still doesn't have a job? And I think you used the expression cush job, and you made it sound as though some of these kids that are graduating with one or two degrees, say, from the University of Illinois, are asking for too much, that you weren't sympathetic to the plight of some kids who genuinely can't find degree-paying jobs when they graduate. Everybody talks about how wide open the market is for employees. That's where we left it off.
Yeah, I believe, and I was just kidding, obviously, earlier. I think, you know, I have nothing but respect for people that go to college and finish. I think it shows that there is a level of dedication, and people understand tasks and goals, and they do what's necessary to accomplish those in a given time frame. So I have great respect for it. I went to college. I make sure my kids go to college, and it's not for everybody, but I respect what people do that accomplish it. And now we're in this crux where, coming out of COVID, that people are saying, well, do you need degrees for everything? Unemployment's so low. Let's get good people. But if you have a degree, you're not entitled to anything. You've earned something and you've achieved it, and that is a degree from a college. It doesn't mean that you are qualified for any specific job or any specific company. And you have to get in at the ground floor. And in a good economy, you may be able to make a lot of money. And in a middle or low economy, you may have to take a job that's not ideal to you and then show what you're about and earn it the old-fashioned way once you get your foot in the door. And there's a lot of people that want to say, I had a double major, or I had a 4.8 GPA, or I graduated from this college or that college. And sometimes it's a foot in the door, but it doesn't mean you're going to get what you want.
I think it sounds, I don't want to say false bill of goods, but I think there's something that just doesn't seem to make sense for these kids and their parents, and that is all of these jobs that aren't filled. And I know some of them are good jobs, are degree jobs, but a lot of them aren't. A lot of the jobs out there are jobs for which you would not need a college degree. You spent your time and your money going to the University of Illinois, and not to disparage people who are baristas or have jobs that don't require college degrees, but that's not what you spent your money and your time working toward. So,
well, let me give you a different side of that coin, John, and that is, I interview and my staff interviews tens of thousands of people a year. And I've sat across from people in their mid-20s, so a year or two out of college, and they're looking for a career change, and they're asking me for advice, or maybe they want to work for my company. And I said, well, what do you think you want to do? Well, I'm not sure, and, you know, my degree was in this, but I'm not sure what I want to do. Well, you know, who's your advisor on this? Well, I go to my parents a lot, like you're saying. And I go, what do your parents think you should do? And they say, they want me to be happy. So the advice from the parents who put so much academic pressure on their kids in high school and put so much pressure on them at work, don't put pressure on them to find a job where they can be successful or to emphasize what their attributes are. But at 22 or 23 or 24, your goal is to be happy professionally. Now, I think in a good world, that should be the case. You should love what you do. But you know as well as I do, John, that when we were kids coming out of college, our parents didn't give a hoot if we were happy. They cared if we were paying our bills. And the world's changed.
Yeah,
and it's not necessarily for the better. I just gave a speech to a group of executives from one of the fastest-growing companies in Chicago. And I said, 5 years ago, gambling on your phone wasn't legal in Chicago. You couldn't buy pot legally and get high during the day. And you couldn't work at home. You had to go into an office. And you're telling me that today the world's a better place? I'm telling you, entitlement for parents and for kids is at an all-time high. And at the same time, we've got more discourse in this country than we've ever had before. And I'm telling you that where you work and what you do is not the reason why. It's a symptom of it. And we've got real problems, and they need people who want to get to work on them. And if you've got a kid who wants a job, get an entry-level job at a company or an industry you like doing customer service or doing an administrative job to get your foot in the door and to show them. And somebody will come in and talk to you because you go into the office, and they'll say to you, well, where'd you go to college? And you'll say, Illinois. And they'll go, well, what was your major? I have two of them. Well, why are you working as the administrative assistant? It's the only job I could get. You know what? Come down to my office and talk to me. That's the way it used to be, and that's the way it still is. But you got to get off your rump and get out of the house.
Tom Gimbel from LaSalle Network is on a phone line. Last week, we started a conversation about the frustration some parents have that their degreed kids aren't able to find jobs in their field or aren't able to find jobs at all or aren't able to find jobs that are as meaningful as they or the parents would like. 815 said, my son graduated in 2021 from the University of Illinois searching for a media job. And he's still looking for a job. But 815 said, I love this guy. His comments are right on. And 630 said, amen, Tom Gimbel is so right. And 773 said, love this guy, so true. And 708 said, kudos to Tom. He's telling it like it is. And I could go on like that, Tom, but I don't want to.
I love you, John.
Well, but I just think the point that's being missed here, and listen, Tom, I understand what you're saying, and I don't think a reasonable person could argue with it. And you're absolutely right. The way I started in the business was small, and anybody starting in any business should be prepared to start small and work your way up. And with hard work and good qualifications, you will prosper. That's been true, and it will be true. But maybe we're missing the point about why did I go to the University of Illinois and get a job in marketing, and now I can't find a marketing job. That's a reasonable expectation. That's a reasonable question, isn't it?
Well, it depends on the multiple reasons to go to college. So there is to learn a trade, a white collar trade, usually. And to gain experience from professors that are experts in the field. There's also the value of a liberal arts education to gain knowledge in other areas besides your major. When you think about this, that a major usually requires about 30 hours, it ends up being 1 out of 4 years, only 25% of a state college liberal arts education. So I don't necessarily buy into that. I think that a college is a lot about the maturation process. Mm-hmm. It's a lot about an area for people to branch out and to learn how to deal with people other than themselves and people that they've grown up with since they were five, and then to learn a myriad of topics that they can bring into their job, the same reason that in high school we're required to take biology when most of us won't become doctors. And I think that so often people come out saying, I'm majoring in marketing and I want to go be a brand manager for Clorox. Well, guess what? I want to be, you know, a supermodel, but no one's
yeah,
hiring me.
Yeah, I know that, but I think that's an unfair equivocation or something or another. I don't think these kids are asking to be the brand manager for Clorox, but they are asking to get a job that they would not have been able to get without their degree, that they would not have been able to get without their degree.
Now you're arguing something completely different, because we'll never know what job they were able to get without their degree. We'll never know that. We don't know that they could. Now, the person who doesn't have a degree that rises up to the top rung of corporate America, they're a unique person because they could do it. If I didn't have a degree or you didn't have a degree, maybe we wouldn't be as successful as we are, John. We don't know that. So the question is, you went and got your degree. Stop feeling entitled and go get a job and work your way up.
312 texted in and said, can this guy run for president? We need someone who thinks like this. But 224 texted in and said, okay, Boomer. Dave wanted to jump in on the conversation. You're on WGN. Dave, you're on the air. What's on your mind? Pardon me, Dan. Go ahead, Dan.
Yeah, hi. I just want to add this. It looks like you guys took a little bit of the wind out of my sails with some of the other texts. I just agree with this guy 110%. I could not agree more. I have two grown children. They both went to college. I went to college. My parents didn't. I'll tell you what, it is absolutely, absolutely 100% right what he says about these kids just feeling that they're entitled and their parents feeling like their kids should be entitled. This guy should be running for president. The only two things, the only one thing that I want to add that might be a little bit rubbing people the wrong way is this. I think that when the kid, if he's got the brains for it, right after high school, they should go to college. They should go to college because I'll tell you what. If you go to college for 4 years and then you find out that it's not for you or this isn't what I want, you could always try something else. But listen, don't go to college. Go to high school, then go work 2, 4, 6, 8 years and realize this is just a dead end. I got to go back to college. Now you're going back to night school. And it's night school for 6, 8, 10 years, and it is just rugged. It will just exhaust you. I sat next to guys for 6, 8, 10 years. Who are going to work all day and then going to night school for 3 nights a week and then doing homework all week. It's just terrible. It's just impossible. So the only thing that I might disagree with this trend today, namely college isn't for everybody. I agree that I know we're suffering with all types of things with the trades.
Now I hear what you're saying, Dan. No. I appreciate your phone call. I'm only cutting you off because I just have about a minute left. And there's lots of people that are calling and texting in agreement with what Tom Gimbel is saying from LaSalle Network. Tom, also, there was a story in the news this week that more and more businesses are not requiring college degrees because of the demand. And it turns out you can do some of these jobs. I don't think that a four-year degree for everything is necessary. It strikes me as being kind of an artificial parameter. But what are you seeing on the front of you don't need to have a college degree to take some jobs these days?
Yeah, there's no doubt about it that when unemployment is very low, that companies have to sacrifice on their requirements. And so what it means is that at this point in time, for people who don't have a degree, there might be some opportunities that might not be available later on. But what will end up happening, to your other caller's point, is you may be in line for a promotion one day, and the company may have a degree required for that, or to move into management, or to be an executive. So, you know, if you want to be in a white-collar job, having a degree is necessary. And I want to, one last thing before you end the segment, John, is I think, you know, there's an expression that says no one's born a racist, and that they're a product of their environment and their parents. And I would tell you that no one's born entitled. They're a product of that because their parents allow that to be the case. And I've said for years, going back to the whole millennial stuff, is that these kids didn't do it to themselves. The parents allowed it to happen. And I think the same thing is that kids rely on their parents. They become too reliant on them, and parents need to lay some parameters and guardrails up to help them. But at the same time, you gotta demand that they get to work. And if you're unemployed for that long, there's a problem. Go get a job.
Tom Gimbel's the founder and CEO at LaSalle Network, thelasallenetwork.com. We'll talk again next week, Tom. Thanks for your time today.
Stay healthy, John, and good luck to your son.
Yeah, to all of our kids out there. WGN Radio, Wintrust Business Lunch. Here's a topic near and dear to many of us. It's senior housing, senior real estate. Brandon Raymond is the Director of Real Estate Development for Ryan Companies. RyanCompanies.com is their website. They're developing one of the big projects off of Irving Park, Cicero, and Western, if I'm not mistaken. Hey, Brandon, it's John. You're on the air. How are you today?
Hey, John, doing well. Thanks for having me. How are you doing?
Good. Are you guys based in Chicago then? Do you work just around here, or are you a national concern?
So Ryan Companies offers comprehensive real estate services across the country. We're a national developer, designer, builder. We have 17 offices across the country, about more than 2,000 employees. And here locally, I work out of our Chicago office here in Westmont. We also have an office downtown in the Loop. Approximately about 150 people work out of this regional office. And we cover mainly the kind of the Midwest area out of this office.
And you guys are designing complexes for seniors, is that right?
That's correct, John. We do work across all sectors. Specifically, I work on in the senior living sector. You know, we've developed or built 61 communities across 17 states. In terms of number of units, that's either developed or constructed, approximately 9,000 units nationally. And then here locally, it's probably about 1,300 units across nine senior living projects in areas like Lyle, Addison, Algonquin, and then our most recent one here in Chicago that we're ready to deliver in spring of next year.
Would I recognize the names of some of your properties then, some of the ones? Because you don't run them afterwards, do you? You just design and build them, presumably for these clients that run these agencies or these businesses.
That's correct, John. We do partner with senior living operators across the country, specifically the ones here in Illinois that I believe you would recognize would be called Clarendale is the brand name. So it's Clarendale Madison, for example, or Clarendale Mokena, and then the one at Six Corners that you referenced earlier is Clarendale Six Corners. And so you're right. You know, senior living is very much an operations business. We believe we're the developers, the construction experts, and we partner with, you know, the senior living operating business experts across the country.
So what are the trends? What are the concepts that are popular now if you're just building something?
So the trends are seniors like to be in the same neighborhood, you know, socially connected to the same neighborhood. So it's important to, when you identify a market that, you know, is driven by the data, it's important that you try to find a site in that community, for example, because seniors, you know, live, work, play in that community, and they don't necessarily want to move away to find senior living, right? If they need that care or they need the housing, they want to live in the community, right? So that's very important. Another trend is full continuum of care in one building. And what that means, John, is we will have independent living, assisted living, and memory care all in the same building. And the reason that's important is because as we all age, different levels of care and services are needed. For example, assisted living may need help with daily living activities, for example, or may need help with cooking, or for example. And so, you know, it's important that those are in the same building because that offers seniors and their families that comfort, that safety, knowing they can age in that same building, in that same community.
My parents just moved into a facility, a lovely place, really. And some of the little differences make a big difference, and you don't think about them until you move your parents in. Like, I said, where's the microwave? And they said, it's down there. You know, right. it's not above the range. It's actually as low as the handle on the dishwasher. And then some, which makes sense because seniors are smaller and sometimes they're in wheelchairs. So mom could wheel right up and open the microwave where before she couldn't reach it at all. Hello, that's a good idea, right?
Right, right. No, you're right, John. These buildings are very much designed with all of those nuances in mind. And you brought up a few great points there. I mean, they're, and these communities now, especially like ours in Clarendale Six Corners, have a ton of amenities too, because seniors, you know, they want to still stay connected to the community. They want to, you know, be among their peer group, and they want to socialize. They want to be active. And so, you know, not just having a community now that has an apartment unit to live in, you know, we have dining, for example, in the communities. We have health and wellness suites, you know, fitness. We have a bar. I mean, we believe seniors like the happy hour. And so we're designing all these communities, you know, with all these amenities and care, you know, nuances for the reasons you just mentioned.
Yeah, my mom and dad do the happy hour. Mom had a whiskey and water at 3:30 in the afternoon last Wednesday.
Yeah, but, there you go.
but I think you're right. I think that the old thinking is that you're a different kind of person now that you're in a care facility. And in fact, you're still the same person. You still like a happy hour. You still want to exercise. You still want to watch a movie. It's just more difficult to do those things. How's business for you guys?
Well, there's, you know, with the, just like everyone's experiencing, you know, rising interest rates and increased construction costs, operating costs really due to inflation, that certainly has brought uncertainty to our business, John, and you know, that will slow new development as people, you know, including Ryan, kind of waits to see what happens. But I'll also say we feel like that brings opportunity because, you know, we believe Ryan Companies has the ability to move some of these projects that are in the pipeline forward, really because we're national. We partner with diverse capital partners. We partner with more than one operator, and we simply work around the country. So that'll allow us to move forward some of the pipeline here as we wait to see what happens in the economic outlook here.
You're not as sensitive to interest rate rises?
We are, John. It's just, you know, we have to focus on markets then that maybe we can have higher rents, for example, to overcome some of those challenges that rising interest rates or construction costs will often. So when I mean we're national, that's where I'm getting at, right? It's that we have the ability to look nationally and find those specific submarkets where we can kind of weather the storm, I would call it, while we wait for things to maybe level out. And then I think when that happens, and I think that'll be the near term, then I think we're going to be right back into all the same markets across the country that we always were targeting.
We got to go, Brandon, but is Clarendon's Six Corners open? Can people sign up for that or tour that?
So we plan on delivering that in early spring of next year, so we're very excited. We're not too far away. And so, yes, to get more information, please go to ClarendaleSixCorners.com. There's, you know, rental information. There's unit size information. We have a sales office locally down the road that you can tour. You can visit, set up tours. So, yes, all that is available, John. So please visit ClarendaleSixCorners.com.
Or RyanCompanies.com to find out more about Ryan Companies, the real estate developers with that niche, if you will. Brandon Raymond is the director of real estate development there. Nice to talk to you, Brandon. Really interesting. Continued success to you all.
Thank you. Thank you. Thanks for having us, John. Appreciate it.
This is the Wintrust Business Lunch. More business news with Steve Grzanich.
Start your timer. It's time for the Wintrust Business Minute, sharing Chicago's business news of the day. A major redevelopment of Old Orchard Shopping Mall in Skokie could include hundreds of apartments. Crane says the owner of the mall is drawing up plans for the project. Those plans include tearing down the empty Bloomingdale store and replacing it with a 360-unit apartment building. More apartments could be built on the north side of the mall in a later phase of the redevelopment. The project comes 3 months after Bloomingdale's announced it would close its store at Old Orchard. This type of redevelopment has become popular among mall owners across the country as they work to revive spaces where retail tenants have moved out. We still don't know how many PepsiCo layoffs will happen in Chicago. The company announced Monday it's cutting hundreds of jobs in its beverage and snack divisions. PepsiCo has units in Chicago that handle Gatorade, Tropicana, and Quaker Foods. PepsiCo is headquartered in Purchase, New York. The Wall Street Journal says PepsiCo has already trimmed jobs from its snack business through a voluntary retirement program. The beverage business is likely to see the biggest cuts. I'm Steve Grzanich, and that's your Wintrust Business Minute.
Here's the business of food and Steve Alexander.
Yeah, and this food business is about a new restaurant coming to our area, Chicken Salad Chick, which I will tell you about after I tell you we're sponsored by the Chevy Silverado HD. Experience life in HD. Visit ChevyDriveChicago.com. Okay, about this new restaurant. Remember the magic when Mom or Grandma would whip up leftover chicken and whatever else was lying around into a salad for sandwiches? Yeah, that's the idea behind Chicken Salad Chick.
We have 12 different flavors of chicken salad.
That is the Chick from Chicken Salad Chick, Kim Seaman, the co-owner with her husband Garrett. You know, I feel a little uneasy referring to you as a chick. Is it okay to say that?
In the South, it is.
And that's where the chain started, Auburn, Alabama.
The founder, Stacy Brown, is the original chicken salad chick, and I am the Batavia chicken salad chick.
Okay, and the restaurant opens next Tuesday.
It is on Randall Road, 220 North Randall Road, right in front of the Menards.
It's the first location in Northern Illinois, and the four categories of chicken salad? Traditional, savory.
And then you've got the fruity and nutty, which is my preference. Fancy Nancy is one of my favorites, where you've got the apples and the grapes and the pecans in it. We've got Fruity Fran, that is apples, grapes, and pineapple. And then my second favorite is Cranberry Kelly, which is dried cranberries with slivered almonds. And then you can either have it just as a scoop or a sandwich.
And then there's the spicy category, which has a holiday special.
We have Deck the Holly, which is jalapeno holly with dried cranberries.
And everything, salads and sides, are made fresh daily in-house. Now, if you're thinking, I know her. I had a teacher by that name at Louise White Elementary. Could that be her?
Yes.
20 years doing that. Now, chicken salad. Do you and your husband have any experience in the restaurant business?
We actually do not. This was just something new that came in front of us, and we decided it was something we wanted to do.
And again, next Tuesday is the grand opening, and
on grand opening day, the first 100 people that show up will get chicken salad for a year.
Yeah, there's a bit of fine print on that one, but one good thing, former students who drop in for a meal, you don't have to raise your hand until Mrs. Seaman calls on you. ChickenSaladChick.com for more info. From the farm to your belly, today is National Gazpacho Day. Can they heat it up on a day like this? That's the business of food on 720 WGN.
James Royal is a Bankrate analyst and author of The Zen of Thrift Conversions. You deserve better than that, James. How are you today? Welcome to the show.
Doing great. Thanks for having us.
What are thrift conversions?
Well, thrift conversions are really a way, it's a mutually owned bank. A bank that's owned by its depositors goes public. So it issues stock to its depositors and then trades publicly like any other bank stock. And so it's an attractive way for smaller investors to participate in an IPO and participate in buying a low-risk asset, low-risk stock, typically has an attractive return.
So that's the zen of the thing, huh?
Exactly. How to navigate it, how to invest in them, what to look out for.
Talk to me about Gen Z, and I was just reading some of your writing recently about how Gen Z workers are not saving enough for retirement, and they're probably not alone, but tell us about that.
Yeah, so Bankrate recently conducted a survey, and we discovered that 31% of Gen Z workers have saved nothing over the last 2 years or so for retirement. And, you know, it's really perplexing because they're really costing themselves huge money over time by delaying investing or not investing at all. You know, we're talking hundreds of thousands of dollars that they could build up in a relatively low-risk way.
What do you mean low risk? I mean, what you said a moment ago, notwithstanding, I presume you just mean sock it away in some mutual fund, dollar cost average, and then wait for the law of compounding, right?
Right. Precisely. That's exactly what I mean. Stick it in an S&P 500 index fund, a reasonable amount of money. Like the example, let me run you through really quickly the figures that we ran. $5,000 a year, less than $100 a week, earning 8% return, which is below what the S&P 500 usually does, which is about 10%. You do that for 40 years, $1.3 million. If you delay just 10 years, you only have 30 years of compounding, you only make about $566,000. So that's almost, or that's more than $700,000 difference just by waiting that 10 years. These are not exorbitant sums, and they're not outlandish figures based on history.
What do you say to the what are the excuses? More than that, explanations. I mean, some kids say, I just don't have the money. What do you say to that?
Well, sure. I mean, we're all in financial straits from time to time. And there are a lot of reasons. Some of them are good and some of them are excuses, right? Like anything. A lot of the reasons that were pointed out in our survey, a number of people pointed toward inflation, right, which has been particularly hard in the last 12 or 18 months. You know, some have pointed to new expenses, though. And so you think, well, how much of those are really necessities and how much of those are really just wants? But then, you know, you've got things like student loans, especially for Gen Z workers who are just coming out. And, you know, this is only to age 25. And so you've got a lot of those workers who have student loans who have to they've got a service. So, you know, there's finally, at the end of the day, there's definitely a question of making it a priority. But there are a lot of real reasons why these workers can't save, too.
Reasons why they can't, meaning legitimate reasons. And then, as you said a moment ago, sometimes they just sound like excuses. Boy, if you just demonstrate to anybody of any age how much you lose by not using time as your advantage, that's very compelling. James Royal, Bankrate analyst and author of The Zen of Thrift Conversions. Read more at Bankrate.com. That's all the time I have today. James, we'll talk more another day. Thanks for your time.
Great. Thank you so much.